Are you ready for a whole new way of being in the world? Welcome to Living from the Inside Out with Michael Neal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Our topic for today is unlimited energy. And the numbers to call to get coaching on having what you want and thriving in every area of your life are 866-254-1579. That's toll-free in the United States and Canada. 866-254-1579 outside the U.S. Dial your country code, usually 001-760-918-4300. And as always, I'm going to set the table. And if you've been listening this month, all month, I've been talking about some of the various obstacle areas that I cover in my online program, The Obstacle Course to Success. If you haven't checked out the program, please go to michaelneal.org/obstacle, and you can read all about it. It's an online video program. And if you join, you still got a few weeks left. If you enroll in the program, you'll get to take part in a week of live calls with me as part of the program. But for today, specifically, I wanted to talk about energy, because one of the obstacle areas, one of the reasons that people often come to me as a coach and say, I'm stuck because I can't, because I'm limited, because I don't have the energy. I'm exhausted. I'm struggling. I've got chronic fatigue. I'm unwell. I am just burnt out. And it seems like a very real obstacle. And in some ways it is. And yet I have so many examples now of people who felt like they have a physical problem, and maybe even do have a genuine physical problem, who, when they understand a little bit more about how our mind works, about what's behind the mind, about our very human system, they're suddenly able to find stores of energy far beyond what they thought was available to them. And specifically, I want to talk about three different types of energy, three different energy sources that we draw on in what we do. And the first is physical energy. And physical energy is a function of calories. Now, we think of calories, most people think of calories in terms of Weight Watchers, or in terms of like, how many calories am I allowed to eat before I get fat? But calories is a term from chemistry, a kilocalorie, not like a killer calorie, but a kilocalorie. It's a measure of energy. There's also kilojoules, and a certain amount of calories are expended in everything that we do physically. And, you know, we can draw calories from our fat source. We can draw calories from our food intake, but essentially calories in, calories out is essentially how that works. And, you know, it's the whole notion of food as fuel. Now, I happen to think food has so many more uses than fuel. I'm a big fan of flavor. But, you know, people forget that at a very simple level, food is fuel. And so for physical energy, there is a simple, you know, there's simple maths involved. Now, are there other things? Can we have energy blockages in the body? Absolutely. Are there other things that can go on? Absolutely. So I'm just talking at a very general level. One of the sources of energy, one of the places we can go for energy, is to the body. So calorie power, we could call it. Now, the second energy source that we all draw on from time to time is willpower, or mental energy. And willpower's probably got the best press, right? Like, if you think of the food wars as a battle between PR agencies, you know, for a long time, fat had the worst PR people, and carbohydrates and, simple carbohydrates had the best PR people. And now protein's probably got the best PR people. Fat's got some pretty good PR people, and carbohydrates are the one who are stuck with the bad PR. Well, mental energy, it probably has the most PR, the most people in the world kind of going, hey, this is where our energy comes from. And you find it a lot with working out. Anyone who does exercise or does any sort of thing, they talk about how it's the mind, not the body. The mind powers the body. The body is driven by the mind. And there's also all sorts of research that shows that willpower is renewable, but gets used up. So there's a very simple, there's a set of studies about decision making. And one of the things that's revealed in the studies is that making decisions, it uses up some of our mental energy. And so the more decisions we have to make, the less energy we have to make decisions, and we can get decision fatigue. And that's because we're doing it generally for most people from mental energy, from willpower. And so compared to physical, it's more renewable. It can take us further than our physical energy can, right? That's, if you've ever, well, to be honest, if you've ever watched a movie about, the Navy SEALs or the SAS or any of the elite, groups of soldiers, you've seen how these people endure incredible physical hardship. You can see it in sports as well. Athletes who keep their bodies moving far beyond what you think a body should be able to put up with. Well, that's mental energy in action. That's simply the will to keep going, the will to win. And it's really cool. But there's a third kind of energy. See, calories, physical energy is a somewhat limited, though renewable resource. We will run out, but we can get more of it. Mental energy is the same. We have a certain amount of it and we can exhaust it, but then we get it back. So even if we quote unquote burn out, we will find our stores. It takes sometimes a little longer to get your mental energy back. Not always, but it is renewable. Now, there's a third kind of energy that gets almost no PR at all. And that is the unlimited energy of spirit. So we could call it spirit power. We could call it God power. We could call it life force. Not life force as in chi, as in the physical energy that flows through the body, but the animating, what is before the physical. And spirit power is infinite. There's an unlimited amount of energy in the universe. The universe is, in fact, expanding. Now, that's the physical universe, but the universe before the form, as best anyone has ever reported, is infinite. There's no beginning, there's no end. Now, the cool thing about energy, about spirit energy, is like all energy, it can neither be created nor destroyed. So you don't have to do anything to create more spirit energy, and you can't run out of spirit energy. All it can do is change forms. It can neither be created nor destroyed, but it can change forms. It can transform. And none of us would be here right now without that energy. So regardless of how depleted your physical energy is, regardless of how depleted your mental energy is, spiritual energy is always running through the system. And when we plug into the mains, right, it would be, think of yourself like a cell phone, right? So you've got a certain amount of charge. And, you know, when that charge runs out, you need to recharge. And as your charge gets less, you have limited functionality on your cell phone, right? So when you're in power saving mode, you know, not all your apps work. Your screen is dimmer. You know, the apps that normally go on in the background stop going on in the background. And you're functional. You can do the basics, but the lower your energy stores, the lower your battery level, the more you're just running the bare bones of the system. Well, we're the same. When we get mentally and physically depleted, generally speaking, through stress, because stress burns energy, you know, stress is the app that burns energy the quickest. So like on my phone, the app that burns energy the quickest is BB10, which is, if you haven't played it, great game, lose hours with it. It's one of these games where you shoot a ball and knock down blocks, but boy, it just eats away at the energy. But the equivalent of BB10, Sorry, makers of BB-10, but I'm giving you a free plug so it balances out. The equivalent of BB-10 in the human system is stress, in that the stress response just eats so much energy. We're designed, by the way, if you want to get in, I will get to callers. I always forget this bit. But 866-254-1579, toll-free in the United States and Canada. Outside the U.S., 001-760-918-4300. The stress response is what burns up the most energy. We're designed to have that sort of stress energy for up to 30 minutes every 48 to 72 hours. So the system's designed to totally handle that amount of burn. In other words, you can have that app open, the stress app, for up to 30 minutes every 48 to 72 hours, and your phone will completely handle it. But most of us have the stress app 12 hours a day, 14 hours a day, 8 hours a day, sometimes 24 hours a day. We don't even switch it off when we sleep. And if we never plug our phone back into the mains, we just get more and more and more depleted. And a lot of the functionality of the human system stops working. And if you think about this, let's go primitive, right? So the reason that, the equivalent in the human system for, low battery mode, low power mode. Well, stress is a function of survival, right? It's basically the body going into survival mode, the system going into survival mode. If you're in a life or death situation, you don't need a sex drive, right? Because reproducing is the last, you might not even live long enough to reproduce, right? You don't need your immune system to be fully functional because, getting sick is not that relevant if you're about to be eaten by a tiger. You don't need your rational frontal cortex to be operating at full power, because making, well thought through decisions about future life choices and imagining all sorts of alternatives isn't that relevant when you're running away from a tiger. So we have limited functionality to preserve the main app. So on the phone, that's, so you can still make phone calls or receive texts. Well, on the cell phone that is us, we can survive. We can make, immediate choices. We can protect ourselves. We can fight. We can run. We can stay very, very still, and maybe the tiger won't notice us. Well, the thing is, spirit power is always available. We can plug back into the mains, and how do you do it? It's just there. So when you stop running your mind at a million miles a minute, when you step back from the swirl of thinking that most of us are living in so much of the time that we don't even notice that we're in a swirl of thinking. We think, oh, I'm not thinking right now. Yeah, we are. We live in a world of thought. And for most of us, we live in a swirly world of thought. Well, this energy is the space in which all that thinking is taking place. So there's these new chargers that I've only seen one prototype of one, and I don't know if they're developed enough yet. You've probably seen the ones now where you can put your phone on a mat and the mat is plugged in and it charges the phone. You don't even have to plug the phone in. Well, there's some now that are creating like energy fields where as long as your phone is in that energy field, it will charge. Now, put the phone aside, because I think that's why they blow up as well. But we're living in that energy field where the second we take notice of it, we fill back up with it. We are made to run on spirit power, on this unlimited energy of life. But we just forget, right? We get so reliant on physical energy, mental energy, that it doesn't occur to us to go to spiritual energy. So I'm going to talk more about this, and I'm going to share an analogy with you I hope you'll find useful as a way of thinking about it. But let me go to the phones, and let's begin with Rennell. Rennell, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about today?
Thank you so much for taking my phone call. I have a lot of respect for you, and I have not listened to Hay House Radio in a long time, and by some reason, I just put on the radio, and there you were at this very minute talking about, you know, energy. Make a long story short, I'm an interior designer, an artist, an art professor, and I have so much paperwork to do, and I'm exhausted. I can't look at it. I just don't want to do it. But again, make a long story short, I worked out this morning. I went to a holy shrine, which I normally not do, and I sat there and I meditated, and Spirit said to start a painting for this great American eclipse. I get the inspiration. I go back to my studio, and I say, I can't stand it. I'm so tired. And then comes the show, and I just want to know how to deal with what I have to do, paper-wise, organization, what I want to do, what I feel I'm called to do. And I feel like I'm running out of time in my life. The years that have passed are not in front of me. So that's the short story of it.
Okay. Well, one downside to doing the short story version is it makes it sound like it's all happening now. Mm-hmm. So if you think of thought as, you know, so thought uses a certain amount of energy. And if there's a lot of thinking going on, it uses more energy. And if there's, you know, if it's quite intense thinking, it uses a lot of energy because it also draws our feelings into it. And we get all caught up in it. So if you think, have you ever done that thing on a phone? My wife has still not figured out that apps don't just close on her iPhone. So she'll have, when I go to her phone sometimes and she complains about her battery life, she'll have 20 to 30 apps open at all times in the background. Because she just doesn't realize you have to actually manually close them out.
Right.
Well, so you've got the I'm running out of time app, which is probably, you know, uses a fair bit of energy. You've got the, you know, I'm inspired and I want to do cool stuff app. You've got the, there's a lot of important things I need to do app. You've got the, I need to stay organized if I'm going to do this app. You've probably got the, I need to stay grounded if I'm going to have the energy to stay organized so that I can do the stuff that I'm inspired to do so that I don't run out of time app. You got all that running in the background before you've done anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not surprising that you find yourself with no energy or with less energy than you'd like. Now, what's interesting is that there's some things that when you have the thought, oh, I'm just too tired, you do them anyways. And there's some things where you have the thought, I'm too tired, you go, yeah, no, I'm too tired. Now, what for you is the difference between when you think you're too tired, but you do it anyways because you kind of know that you can, and when you think you're too tired and you go, ugh, I'm done, I'm out, I can't do it?
Oh, I'll force myself to do my artwork, but I don't do enough of it. I let the organization and all the other stuff I have to do to make a living come first. And when I do get to do creative, I won't stop. I won't stop, even though I'm not feeling great. I resent myself for not feeling good when I've given myself the time to do it, and I'm pushing myself to do it. I hate that feeling.
So here's what I'm hearing, Ronelle, and I hope it's okay for me to just like share with you kind of exactly as I hear it. But what I'm hearing is, you know, I've made up that I must do this much to be a worthwhile human being. And so when I don't do whatever it is I made up is the amount that I'm supposed to do, I beat myself up, which exhausts me and means I do even less, which means I beat myself up more, which means I have even less energy, which means I beat myself up more until I'm at a point where I'm sitting in my art studio phoning this guy on the radio because I'm exhausted.
God.
Sound about right?
That's embarrassing, yes.
Yeah, well, I mean, the only reason that it's not really that embarrassing is because me too. I'm a little more conscious of it now than I used to be, but we all do variations on that. But the trick is, how seriously do we take it? Right? We have this interest. There's this interesting notion, right? The traditional model of psychology says that we need to, you know, all thinking is equally, has equal merit, and we need to take it into account. So, you know, if I have a suicidal thought, I need to be scared of that. And if I have a positive thought, I need to add energy to that. And if I have a negative thought, I need to avoid it. And if I have this kind of thought, I need to do this. And if I have a judgmental thought, I need to work on myself. And actually, 9/10, probably more of our thinking is noise. It's just blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing is, noise doesn't actually drain our energy. In other words, the background noise, when it's in the background, it doesn't do anything to us.
Right.
It's only when we engage with it as if it's important that we get stuck in it. And it's like Brer Rabbit and the Tar Baby, where they get stuck in it, and you push off with your foot, and then your foot's stuck, and then you push off with your hand, and then your hand's stuck. Thoughts like that. Mm-hmm. Thought is like the La Brea Tar Pits of the mind. Right? The more we try to push away from it, the more stuck in it we get. But thought is also designed to flow through. Thought is, in a way, it's made of this spirit energy. It doesn't actually have a tangibility. It comes and it goes of its own accord if we let it. So it's almost like if you were listening, I don't know if you've ever been in a place where you can hear somebody on a conversation in the next room, but it sounds like they're in the room with you. Almost, it sounds like they're talking to you, but then you kind of realize, yeah, Oh, they're on the phone to someone.
Right.
Well, mm-hmm. That's what our thinking is like, right? It's actually somebody talking in the next room and has nothing to do with you, but because for some reason they're talking to somebody named Rennell and they're saying things that sound vaguely like you, you listen. And you get caught up in their conversation, and you have reactions to it, and you have opinions about it, and you start wanting to kind of go, no, but. The funny thing is, we don't have to fix our thinking. We don't have to fix ourselves by judging ourselves. Like, if it even worked, right, that would be one thing. Right. If beating yourself up actually got you to change your behavior in any meaningful way, that would be interesting. That would maybe be worth exploring. But I've never seen it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a bad habit.
So what makes us so tired?
What makes us tired is you've got all that mental energy getting used in the evaluation and motivation and driving Rennell and trying to make her the kind of person that she thinks she should be.
So what do? How do you start just thinking about it? Like, ignore it? Don't give a damn?
Well, see, here's the thing. Because on the one hand, yes. But on the other hand, it's not like don't give a damn about that very important information that your head is trying to share with you. It's just when you recognize that Bob the homeless guy is going off in your head, and it's not the news, it's just some ranting of a lunatic in your brain, you won't pay attention to it because you know what it is. You know it's just blah, 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 Rennell sucks, blah, 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 she should do this, blah, 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 blah. It isn't meaningful. We don't, our guidance in life, our guidance system is not a guidance system of self-loathing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. One of the first lines I wrote in my first book is I talked about the difference between the still small voice within, the sort of guiding wisdom, and the you know, the voice of the should and the must and the have to and the ought to, the programmed voice, the conditioned voice. And I said, if you're having trouble telling the difference between the two, the still small voice within doesn't think you suck.
Doesn't make you what?
It doesn't think you suck.
Oh.
It doesn't think you're a horrible human being. It's not the one going, oh, I can't believe she's done it again or hasn't done it again or whatever. We actually don't have to listen to the voice inside our head. There's a deeper part of us that will take care of us and guide us, a deeper intelligence, a direct connection to our own innate wisdom that we can trust to operate the system. And it's almost like when, okay, let's say you're driving. I just booked a trip from, I'm about to book it. I haven't booked it, but from LA to New Mexico. But let's say I'm driving from LA to New Mexico. Okay. And if I didn't understand how cars work and I thought that what was playing on the radio was essential to whether or not I was going to make it to New Mexico, then I would spend a lot of my drive time trying to tune in just the right station and make sure that just the right songs were playing and avoiding the negative commercials and avoiding this kind of news and listening to that kind of news. And my whole trip would become about what was playing on the radio. But I can drive to New Mexico without anything playing on the radio, and I can drive to New Mexico with anything playing on the radio. It is not relevant to my getting to New Mexico.
Wow.
All this noise in your head about Rennell and who she should be and what she should be doing and how much of it she should be doing is the radio in the car. Your authentic spiritual expression has nothing to do with any of that. And as you see that, even a little bit, you'll find yourself with more energy.
Wow. So, Michael, can I ask you a question? I'm just very interested. You're very beyond smart. What made you decide to do this topic today? Well, I mean, it's kind of unusual.
Well, so I think it would be really cool if I said, because I knew there was an artist somewhere and I picked up a vibe that
No. You
would need. But honestly, what it was I put out this new program at the beginning of the month called The Obstacle Course to Success. And I thought it would be fun to do radio shows this month that picked up on some of the key themes from that program. And so, I mean, this was last month that I was going through and I thought, oh, okay, these are some of my favorite areas that I bump into with clients where they get stuck. So I thought it would be helpful to people to talk about.
And what is the name of the program?
It's called The Obstacle Course to Success. You can find it at michaelneal.org/obstacle.
Yeah, because it's great. You're tuning in to, I'm one of gazillions, but.
Well, but see, these are universal themes. So you are one of a gazillion because these are human being problems, not Rennell problems.
Mm-hmm.
And the wonderful thing about human being problems is we can all find a way to navigate being human.
Because when I feel this way in this wintertime, I've got a good excuse. You know, I could, but when it's so beautiful and the summer is so limited, I can't stand feeling this way. I don't remember ever feeling this way in the summertime. Yeah. To me, this is new for this season in such a glorious time of the year.
I'm gonna leave you with a little secret thought.
Okay.
You don't have to feel this way in the winter either.
Okay.
All right, Rennell. Feel free to phone back anytime. Thank you.
Okay.
You know, I really appreciate it, Rennell. That was absolutely lovely. If you want to get in, numbers to call 866-254-1579, toll-free in the United States and Canada, outside the U.S., 001-760-918-4300. We're all up against the same things, and we all have the same things going for us. What we're all up against is we just get preoccupied with what's going on in our minds. We overthink things, and it exhausts us, and it drains us. But what we've all got going for us is a capacity to see that for what it is, to wake up from that dream. And we don't have control, as best I can tell, over what we think or how much we think moment by moment. But when we see it for what it is, we don't get lost in it. It doesn't seem like a good idea to think even more about it. And as soon as we turn away from it, this natural energy, this natural wisdom, this natural creativity starts bubbling up in us. And we got all the energy in the world. Let's go to Chicago and let's speak to Madeline. Madeline, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about today?
Oh, my God. I'm embarrassed. But, you know, I'm a woman of my word. I call you back with an update.
Okay.
I think I need, Michael, rather than coaching, I need to be exercised. Maybe I'm possessed.
Cool. I mean, I've never attempted an exorcism by radio, but I mean, hey, look, I wish we could go to a commercial and we could say, okay, coming up after the break, we're going to do a live exorcism on the radio. Stay tuned.
That's right. Get the candles ready. I was supposed to take an exam. I said I would. Mm-hmm. And the incentive was coaching by you. And mm-hmm. I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm frozen. I don't know why I can't get past it. And I've got my boss telling me, look, we got the little carrot dangling in front of you. You're one of our best. But you need to take this exam. And I'm going insane. I don't know what it's going to take. I think maybe an exorcism. Maybe I'm possessed.
Okay, let me tell you a story. I was talking to a salesman once, and every time I tried to explain to him politely why I didn't want to buy what he was selling, he had a great answer to it. Like, he was obviously very well trained in handling objections. It got to a point where I just said to him, yeah, no, I'm not going to get it. And he was like, well, why? And I said, I have a urinary tract infection. And he said, well, what does that have to do with whether or not you buy this cell phone plan? And I was like, look, when you don't want something, one excuse is as good as any other. So we can make up anything you want about why you're not taking the test. And we can justify it any way we want. And we can try and scare ourselves with stories about how terrible it would be if we don't, and try and motivate ourselves with stories about how wonderful it would be if we do. And we would be making both things up in a well-meaning, innocent attempt to get ourselves to do what we think we should do, but for whatever reason, we're not doing. But see, here's the difference in starting point to the way it looks to me than to the way it sounds like it looks to you. I don't think fundamentally your life will be any better if you take the exam than if you don't. You may have some different opportunities than you have. It might take you in a terrible direction, or it might take you in a wonderful direction. It might take you two steps in a way, in a direction that you later realize you don't want to do. It may be the next step on something that you do really want to do. We have no idea. But what we know is that all of us, our essential nature, our essential well-being, our essential worth and value in the world, is not affected by what we do or don't do, have or don't have, experience or don't experience. That's just a different starting point than the right thing to do would be to take this exam and my life would be better, but I'm not, so I must be self-sabotaging. What's wrong with me?
Well, the funny thing is that I do want to take the test because I do want to go further. I mean, let me rephrase that. I don't want to take the test, but I do want to go further. And in order to go further, which is more important than taking the test, taking the test is essential because I can't go to the next step without it. But I do want to go to the next step.
Here's the thing, Madeline. What if this isn't up to you? Right? I know it's all cool to think we're empowered and in control and stuff. Right? But yes. what if we're not? What if we're passengers on the train of our lives? What if it's all preordained? Now, I'm not saying it is.
Okay.
I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying right? that the assumption that we're in charge or should be in charge, in control or should be in control, at the helm or should be in the helm, is made up.
That was great if I didn't have... That would be a great thought if I didn't have bills to pay.
What if it's preordained whether or not the money's there to pay those bills?
Well, that's pretty scary.
Why?
Because if it's preordained that I'm not going to pay my bills.
No, I didn't say it's preordained you're not going to pay the bills. I'm saying if you're meant to pay the bills, the money will be there to pay the bills. If you're not, it won't be.
Right. So if it's not meant to be, then I'm pretty screwed.
Not necessarily. You just haven't paid your bills. Now, I'm playing with you, Madeline, okay? I'm not trying to scare you. I'm saying that if we think we are in control, then when we don't do what we think we should do, we kind of have no choice but to analyze and beat ourselves up and try and get ourselves to do stuff. But that's not necessarily how the universe works. I know for a fact that I don't choose what occurs to me. And since I don't choose what occurs to me, I don't choose what options I'm choosing from. Like right now, you have in your head, it sounds like, a fairly binary menu. Take test, pay bills. Don't take test, don't pay bills. Well, I got to tell you, last time I looked, there were 173,948 ways to make enough money to pay your bills. And 1,907, I totally forgot the number. I can't carry it on. But all but one of those doesn't involve taking this test. But you've got it linked up like the only way this is going to happen is if that happens. And it all just bungs up your own natural creativity. I'm not telling you to take the test. I'm not telling you to not take the test. I'm telling you, give yourself a break. Like, here's what I mean by being a passenger on the train. Like, what if you woke up in the morning and instead of trying to make yourself do it again today, you started from the place of, I wonder if I'm going to do it. I wonder what reason I'm going to come up with to not do it today. Or I wonder if maybe today I am. Like, if you didn't start with the premise that it was your call. Like, one day, you will have taken it or you won't. That's going to be true at the end of each day. Right? At the end of today, you will have taken it or you won't have. At the end of next week, you will have taken it or you won't have. At the end of next year, you will have taken it or you won't have. True or not true?
Correct.
Right. So what if the game was to see?
Unfortunately, I've been thinking about this in similar ways for 2 years now. I'm going to go crazy.
Yeah, but see, I've got to be honest with you. I don't believe you. I don't believe you have been sitting there going, how cool. I wonder what Madeline's going to do today.
Well, you just threw the how cool thing just now. You just threw that in. No, I don't think it's cool at all.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying how cool. To me, that's what it is to be. It's like, I wonder where the train's going today.
Okay.
My point, and I'm not trying to be dismissive. I think you know that, but my point is, thinking more about something that we've been thinking about for 2 years is not going to get us further.
I know.
It's basically what we're doing is, hey, I've made love to the tar baby. I've rolled around in the tar pit till I'm covered from head to toe. I think maybe what I need to do is dive in deeper. It's like, no, that's not how it works. Or like quicksand might be a better metaphor, you know, where, you know, if every movie I've ever seen is to be believed, I've never been around real quicksand. You know, the more you splash about, the deeper in it you get. You actually have to just get still. And then it kind of settles and you can climb out or be pulled out. So if nothing else, how about this, right? As a game, how about for, let's give it a week. For the next week, you just abandon all hope. Not for your life, but for taking this test. Right? You just take it off the plate. You pretend that the deadline passed. Oh, well, missed it. And see what new comes to mind when you stop playing the same damn song again and again and again and again and again. Not because I find it annoying. I don't find it annoying at all. But just to give yourself a break. Because this is the cool thing about the mind. When we stop playing one song, a new song comes on. When we stop thinking the same thought, a new thought comes along. And we already know that what you're looking for isn't in the thought you've been thinking. It isn't in the song you've been singing. So by the law of statistics, I don't know what the law of statistics is, but, you know, just by the numbers, anything other than continuing to think about it has a better chance of moving things forward.
I think I've done that already, unfortunately.
Yeah, see, I mean, but there... see, I genuinely don't think you have. And the reason that I say that with some confidence, not absolute, I'm not in your head, right? But the reason I say that with some confidence is because what you probably did was like the bad negotiator at an Arab souk who's learned that they're supposed to pretend to leave and that they'll get a better price if the person thinks they're leaving. And so they go, I'm leaving at that price. I'm not going to buy it. And they keep looking back over their shoulder, waiting to be stopped on the way out the door. It's a very different thing to actually just go, done, than it is to try and trick yourself into being done and not caring when you still care incredibly deeply.
That's the hard part. How can you not think about it? How can you not care altogether?
Well, all I'm suggesting...
Because I'm doing the very job.
But here's all I'm suggesting, Madeline. And again, right? You've got in you a part of you underneath all of this kind of, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. You've got a wisdom in you that's going to guide you through this in the end, one way or another. So all I'm doing with all my blabbering is trying to find a little break in the thinking to see if something new can come in.
Okay.
And essentially, at the simplest level, if you genuinely took even an hour off, just took yourself off the hook, that's going to open up a bit of space.
I want to try that.
Very cool. I'll look forward to the next update. Instead of embarrassed, maybe next time you can just be mad at me.
No, I love your candor.
All right, Madeline.
Candor. You just say what you need to say, and you're not. I listen to you as often as I can.
Oh, well, you're always
and
welcome.
Thank you.
A pleasure.
Thank you so much.
A pleasure.
Thank you. Bye.
You know, here's the thing. If the game that we think we're supposed to be playing is get ourselves to do something, then everything gets co-opted into our game. So if somebody calls in, and actually I'm not actually saying Madeline was doing this, but it's a very common thing. Somebody phones in and they're absolutely sure that They know what they need to be doing. They know what they need to do. They just can't get themselves to do it. And then they evaluate how our conversation goes by, did it get me to do it? If it didn't, it wasn't useful. If it did, it was. But what I'm actually doing, what I'm actually suggesting as best I can to anyone who wants to listen, is don't be so sure that what you think you need to do is what you need to do. Don't be so sure that the problem is you can't make a decision between two options, as opposed to you're not seeing the 17 other options. Right? I sometimes use the analogy of going to a restaurant and going, there's nothing on the menu I really like. There's five things, and I'll have this turkey sandwich, I guess. And somebody comes to you and goes, oh, did you go to the restaurant? And you go, yeah. How was it? Oh, well, I had the turkey sandwich. And they go, well, why didn't you order the caviar omelet? And he said, caviar omelet? There was no caviar omelet on the menu. And they say, yeah, it was on page two. And you go, page two? Right? We get so sure that we know what's on the menu and that our problem is ordering the right thing that we don't notice the menu is infinite. In fact, we don't even have to use a menu. We have access to the kitchen. We get so sure that it's a motivation issue that we miss the fact that this is not necessarily the next thing for us to do. And when we get stuck in that, when we get stuck in any kind of these are my only options, we get stucker. It's a technical term. But, we just get stucker and stucker and stucker. And all it takes to get unstuck is to open up to new thought. You don't have to find the thought. You don't have to choose the thought. If you are willing to dismiss what's in your head now, you will make space for something new. And because of the nature of the mind, of this deeper intelligence we all have inside us, in this deeper wisdom, something new will always come through. I'm going to go back to the phones in a minute. I wanted to share a couple of things. I said I was going to share kind of a fun analogy for these different kinds of energy. So I've been a hybrid driver for a while. I got my first hybrid early model Prius back in 2004. And I drive right now, there's a Lexus high performance hybrid with two electric engines and one gas engine. And I kind of like them. And one of the things that I like, and I remember spending ages doing when I was first at the car, is there's this mode where you can see how much are you drawing on the electric engine and how much you're drawing on the gas engine. And you can kind of find this optimal zone where you're spending most of the time with the electric engine and less and less time on the gas engine. And I actually think that learning how to get the most out of driving a hybrid is kind of a cool metaphor for learning how to get the most out of these different kinds of energy. So let's put physical energy to one side, but let's take mental energy and spiritual energy. Let's call mental energy motivation and spiritual energy inspiration. So motivation, willpower, it's like gas in the internal combustion engine. It burns fast, it burns strong, but it runs out quickly and it needs continual renewal. And over time, it'll take a toll on the engine, which needs regular maintenance to handle the buildup of the toxicities from the fuels and the temperatures that required to make it burn. And in us, it's made up of a lot of personal thinking. So if you added up all of your ideas about who you are and who you should be and what you're up to and why you're up to it, what your motives are, right? That's where motivation comes from. And what you think you need to be doing to get there. That's all this mental energy. That's all motivation. Now, we also run on inspiration, spirit power, and that's like the electric engine part of the hybrid. It's clean, it's non-toxic, it's self-renewing, so you can run on the electric energy for years because it recharges as the car runs, and you don't necessarily need to ever manually recharge it or replace the battery. Now, in us, that energy is still made of thought. But it's not that same kind of personal thinking. It's an impersonal thought. It comes from a deeper part of the mind. Inspiration comes to us and through us. And as a rule, it isn't really about us, as in the kind of person we are. It's about whatever it is that we're working towards. It's whatever it is that we're working on. Now, I've spent a lot of time coaching high achievers, and I like to think I've done some high achieving of my own. And I've never met anyone who runs purely on one of these energy sources. So no one I've ever met or worked with gets very far without putting in a lot of hours. And no one that I've ever met or worked with sustains their enthusiasm for success over time without some kind of connection to spirit power, whether they think of it as spirit power or not, a more universal energy source than the human will. So if you want to kind of think about this as an analogy, so think of something that you would love to create in your world. And think of it like a journey, and you're going to drive your car from where you are to where you want to be. But it's a hybrid car. And where you want to be might seem like it's thousands of miles away. It might seem like it's just in the next town. So when you start out, chances are you got a full charge of inspiration in your battery. You got a full reservoir of motivation in your gas tank. And if you aren't aware of these two different energy sources, the default tends to be using mostly gas. Right? And the further and longer you go, the more often you're going to need to stop to fill back up. And you might do that by reading books, going on courses, getting coached, trying to get yourself motivated. And that fuel can start to get expensive. And the wear and tear on the car, that's you, requires you to spend even more time and energy on maintenance activities, fixing things when they break down. But by the same token, if you try and do the whole thing just on electricity, it's sometimes difficult to get going. And you can get kind of obsessive about, well, I'm only going to run on electricity, and so I'm not going to do anything unless I'm totally inspired to do it. And that sort of means that often you just don't go anywhere. Now, there's a really simple resolution, right? When you see that the car is designed to run on gas and electricity, motivation and inspiration, willpower and spirit, personal and impersonal thinking, you don't have to decide which energy source to use when. The car itself, the system itself, will effortlessly switch between them as needed. And as you get more of a feel for how the system's designed to work, you just develop good driving habits. You learn to drive in a way that optimizes efficiency and effectiveness, that minimizes fuel expenditure and maximizes distance traveled. Now, in the car, right, it's got a meter, so you can see. You can learn how well the car is working by paying attention to the dashboard. Well, with us, we learn how the human system runs by paying attention to the feeling. So when we're feeling tight and stressed and wound up and bunged up and burned out, chances are we're running on a lot of personal thinking, a lot of mental energy, and not much spirit or inspiration. And sometimes that's okay. Sometimes your car is going to need a little extra gas to get where it's going. When you're feeling a sense of ease and flow and aliveness, well, that's your electric engine in full force, and there's just enough personal will to keep things moving in the direction of your choosing. Now, this is a metaphor, right? It's not really like this. It's kind of like this. It's something like this, but not this. But here's the basic idea in a nutshell. Thought is the fuel for all creation and achievement, right? Personal thinking fuels the will. That's motivation. Impersonal thinking, inspiration, fuels the spirit. And you don't need to figure out which thoughts are the right thoughts to think or when to use this kind of thought or that kind of thought. If you show up each day and you aim yourself in the direction you want to go, knowing that your mind is already designed to find an optimal balance of inspiration and motivation along the way, you're going to do just fine. And some days you're going to travel a really long distance without much effort. And some days it's going to feel like there's a heck of a lot of effort. getting you that distance. We're out of time. Thanks for listening. Have fun. Learn heaps. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye for now.